All right.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Wednesday afternoon, October 12th, 2022, session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, please call the roll.
Good afternoon. Maps.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. We have, rules of order and decorum. I almost forgot that.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Portland City Council. City Council is holding hybrid public meetings with in-person attendance in addition to electronic attendance. If you wish to testify before council in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance by visiting the council agenda on the council clerk's webpage at www.portland.gov/council/agenda. You may sign up for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions, reports, or first readings of ordinances. Written testimony may be submitted at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. For testifiers joining virtually, please unmute yourself once the council clerk calls your name. The presiding order officer preserves order and decorum during city council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. A timer will indicate when your time is done. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, council may take a short recess and reconvene virtually. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Could you please read our one item for today, item number 855?
856, Mayor.
Oh yeah, so it is. Okay. Numbers.
Thanks.
856.
Adopt the West Portland Town Center Plan Goals and Policies, Visions, Action Charts, Land Use Concept and Circulation Growth Concept Diagrams, and Coordinated Growth Strategy for Zoning and Infrastructure. Amend the Comprehensive Plan Map, Zoning Map, Title 33, and Citywide Design Guidelines.
Thank you. This is a hearing of the Portland City Council. Today's date is October 12th, 2022. The subject of today's hearing is the recommended draft of the West Portland Town Center Plan. There will not be a vote on this today. We'll start with opening remarks, followed by a staff presentation and an opportunity for council to ask any clarifying questions that the council may have at this time. Then we'll hear from some invited speakers and from members of the public who have registered to testify. The record for written testimony will be open through Friday, October 14th at 5 p.m., at which time the record will close. Again, that's Friday, October 14th at 5 p.m. I'll provide more detail about next steps at the conclusion of testimony today. Before we begin the presentations, I'd like to provide an opportunity for my fellow commissioners to disclose any conflicts of interest. Colleagues, does anybody have any conflict of interest that they'd like to declare? Commissioner Hardesty?
Thank you, Mayor. I have no perceived conflicts of interest, but at the risk of being overly cautious, I just wanted to put that on the record.
Very good. Thank you. Anybody else? This project is being brought to us by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. We thank them. So I invite Commissioner Rubio to give opening remarks and introduce our presenters. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm looking forward to hearing from community today about the recommended draft of West Portland Town Center. And I appreciate that this plan was created with and for the community. I also appreciate its emphasis on considering planning for change, growth, and resilience in this town center through a lens of both health and racial equity. And it's centering the involvement and needs of the underrepresented communities in this area. The plan puts forward a shared vision for an equitable future with better social, economic, and health outcomes for all, in a vibrant, community-centered, people-centered, resilient place. This long-range plan will shape future development and guide the work that investments of the city in this growing area of Southwest Portland. So I'd like to thank Commissioner Mapps and Commissioner Hardesty for their support of the ongoing Infrastructure Bureau collaboration that has been and will continue to be a part of this work. I would also like to acknowledge and share my appreciation for the two letters of support City Council received from the Planning and Sustainability Commission and the Design Commission. I have reviewed these letters and appreciate the time that these commissions have taken to offer thoughtful feedback on West Portland Town Center Plan. So now I'd like to turn it over to BPS's Chief Planner, Patricia Dierfendorfer, to get us started with today's item.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Rubio. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Patricia Dierfendorfer. I'm the Chief Planner in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and I have the pleasure of opening up this presentation this afternoon. I want to start by recognizing and appreciating the city staff and the community leaders who worked together to develop the plan before you. It is the culmination of many years of work and has significant community support. It is a plan that has taken a new approach in considering the value of health and community connection, as well as the implications of racial equity and access to opportunity. I'm joined today by key planning staff who've worked on this project and include Joan Fredrickson, Bill Cunningham, and Eric Engstrom, I believe is joined virtually. The West Portland Town Center Plan covers an approximately 288-acre area in Southwest Portland, centered on the Barber Boulevard corridor and the intersection between of Southwest Capitol Highway and Barber, sometimes called the Crossroads. It stretches roughly north to south from Southwest Dolph to Southwest Pomona, and west to east from roughly Southwest 52nd to 30th Avenue. The West Portland Town Center Plan is the first area plan to be developed after the recent adoption of the city's 2035 Comprehensive Plan. Portland's 2035 Comprehensive Plan is a citywide roadmap for accommodating growth and directing infrastructure investments to areas of growth. At a high level, Portland's comp plan directs growth to a number of centers and corridors throughout the city, such as the West Portland Town Center, and the proposed plan implements the Comprehensive Plan's centers and corridors growth strategy. The West Portland Town Center Plan has long been identified as an area of growth in both the Metro 2040 plan and the city's plan. The Town Center designation actually dates back to 1995, and the city has an obligation to implement that regional designation. The proposed plan establishes regulations for future development and is a blueprint for growth in the area that will take place over a 20-plus year horizon and is intended to be implemented over time. Generally, the plan before you proposes comprehensive plan and zoning changes that create opportunities for more housing and businesses in the area. It does so by expanding the boundaries of the town center and increasing the areas where mixed use and multi-dwelling development can take place. Currently, the area zoning is fairly low density, and the changes proposed here bring the area zoning into alignment with this the town center designation of the comp plan. This is an important plan from a fair housing perspective because it helps ensure West Portland can absorb its fair share of the city's overall growth. The plan was initiated in 2019 in response to the planned Southwest Corridor light rail along Barber. Even though the transit project is delayed, high capacity transit on the corridor remains on the city's list of significant transportation projects and is anticipated in the future. Adopting this plan now allows the city and the community to plan for any potential impacts the transit investment might have in the future. As you will hear from the staff presentation, the plan was developed in close coordination with the community and has taken an approach of centering and considering health and equity. Thank you to the SWEC for your leadership. The coalition played an important role in setting plan priorities. The process really brought a wide range of people together and represents a model for the way we do our work. It encompasses not only a more traditional land use plan, but also an infrastructure phasing strategy, which was developed in coordination with the city's infrastructure bureaus. And it also identifies equitable community development actions that reflect the community's vision for the area and can be implemented over time collectively by the city, other public agency partners, and community-based organizations. The plan employs strategies that prioritize the development of new market rate and affordable housing, the preservation of existing low-cost housing, and the inclusion of affordable commercial spaces. It also includes concepts that aim to improve circulation for pedestrian and active transportation modes. As a reminder, Council adopted a housing strategy for the Southwest Corridor in 2018, and this plan builds upon that strategy. The blueprint outlined in the plan also helps to inform and guide the prioritization of city capital improvement programs and investments, and will enable the city and the community partners to pursue grants and funding that align with the plan and will implement its goals over time. Finally, the plan also proposes to implement zoning changes over two phases to allow time for infrastructure planning to be completed before greater zoning capacity is added. This aspect of the plan will be described in more detail in the presentation. I would like to now introduce Joan Fredrickson, who will provide the presentation along with Bill Cunningham and will share more detail about the features of the plan. After the presentation, planning staff is available to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. See if I get it right. Okay, good afternoon, council members. Thank you for having us today. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you, commissioners. My name is Joan Fredrickson. I'm with—
Excuse me, Joan, you may want to bring the mic closer. Thank you.
All right, let's try that. Okay. My name is Joan Fredrickson. I'm one of the key planners on this work. I'm with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And also here with me today is Bill Cunningham, my project co-lead. We'll be both presenting. Before I get going, I want to let everyone know that the official record for the West Portland Town Center plan to this point includes all public testimony received, including via the MAP app. This presentation, all materials included in the recommended draft of the plan and its appendices, the materials presented to the Planning and Sustainability Commission, and all other materials included in the City Council filing. Other than the public testimony and today's presentation, material in the record is located on the project web pages at www.portland.gov/bps/planning/wpdx-town-center. Thank you. While in the interest of making our presentation brief today, to give more time to public testimony, we'll be largely covering the plan at a high level. However, I want to especially appreciate the collaboration of the community-based organizations that have worked alongside staff to engage renters and BIPOC community in this area and help us develop this plan, and as well as everyone's efforts in producing this important foundation for equitable and resilient town center here. I also want to note that there is a lot more to this plan than what we'll cover today, so the community would welcome your interest in learning more and engagement in any of the actions noted in the plan. And with that, we'll dive in. Thank you. So quickly, we'll get you reoriented. The West Portland Town Center is located in far southwest Portland. Think the Barber Transit Center or Barber World Foods, or where you might turn to go down to PCC Sylvania. It's a metro designated town center shown here with the arrow and one of 8 comp plan designated town centers in Portland. So why here and why now? This is an area of good schools, great natural areas and green spaces, and within good commuting distance to downtown and jobs in Washington County. It's an opportunity area. Planning now provides us the opportunity to guide resilient and equitable town center development in the place that is can be set for growth and get ahead of any light rail investment impacts. It also provides us an opportunity to support the diverse and vulnerable communities living in this area. There are many low-income renters and a large East African and Arab Muslim community that are rooted in this area by the mosque. They are energized, they have been energized in the area through this project and the work of organizations like Unite Oregon, Community Alliance of Tenants, Hockey Community Organization, and the Southwest Equity Coalition. It's an opportunity to broaden housing options accessible to more people, to model a new approach for equitable growth based on comprehensive plan policies, and to grow the relationships and partnerships formed by this work and the Southwest Corridor Equitable Development Strategy and Housing Strategy as well. This map shows a zoom in of the area. This is the study area. And across the middle of the slide, you see in orange Barber Boulevard, just to orient you. And then also in light orange, the Barber Transit Center site. And then to the south, the West Portland Park neighborhood is highlighted in purple. And this we highlight this area because it's one of the most racially and economically diverse neighborhoods in Southwest Portland, or the most, and it's got a high percentage of renters and a good degree of existing low-cost housing. So I said it would be high level, so here is some of the snapshot. What's the plan about? What's in the plan? The plan has 3 key components: a land use plan, an infrastructure strategy, and a set of equitable community development actions. The next few slides will be a high-level distillation of the what, the how it gets implemented, and who has a role in implementing it. First, to touch on the land use plan, which we'll provide some more details on later as well. The land use plan consists of zoning code changes to support things like housing affordability, jobs, other green elements, zoning map changes, as mentioned earlier, to expand areas for more housing and businesses and services. It also includes a West Portland Town Center character statement that will inform future design reviews in the area. Next.
Scare you.
It was right in the zone, too.
My apologies for interrupting, but you know,
pounded on the table or something, I would have jumped up there.
My question, you know, we talk about housing affordability as if it's a one thing. And I get concerned knowing with how unaffordable housing is today and how unaffordable it will be tomorrow, that maybe we need a term different than of housing affordability, because honestly, that tells us absolutely nothing.
Okay.
So I guess my question to you is, what do you mean when you say housing affordability?
Thank you. So what I mean, what we intend to mean with the plan is that there be a broader range of housing, of levels of cost for housing, and usually that ends up, that stems from having a wider variety of housing types so that we can have smaller units, detached units, units in apartment buildings, as well as units in more traditional residential lots.
I want to highly encourage you to be as specific as possible in this plan, because, you know, I've been here only 3 years and 9 months, and every developer tells me they're building affordable units, and most of them are not. So I would really encourage you, area median income, something that we can track. And I would say if we're talking housing that working people can afford to live in, we're really talking at 60% or below area median income. So I just can't let you just say affordable because it doesn't mean anything, those words. Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty, maybe I could just, in a subsequent slide, we were going to give a little more detail. And when we talk about restricted affordable housing, we're talking about 60% of AMI. Okay, so you will hear more about
that. Yeah, and I appreciate the question. I had a slightly different take on this because I remember when we first started discussing this project, the strategy through the Housing Bureau was intentionally anti-displacement focused. And I don't see anything here about displacement as being my names are covering it. That's why. It's one of the perils of being the presiding officer. It's on the slide, isn't it? All the way to the right.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'll shut up. Go on.
But thank you for your questions. I think those are really important points to make. And I appreciate the attention to those issues because I think they're very important and it's true. You know, sometimes we get talking high level, but it's important to call those details out. And
well, it shows we're all on the same page, which is good. That's a nice save. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, we're all seeing the slides, but apparently you have that up there.
But they're here.
Okay.
Does that mean that the public's not seeing it?
No.
Keelan, is the public seeing the slides that we're seeing or no?
Yeah, I'll check with our broadcaster to make sure that they're being shown.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So the other, there's an infrastructure strategy as well, which is predominantly related to stormwater and transportation. And these consist of, the plan includes recommendations for projects and sequencing of those in support of community growth and resilience. It also influences the proposed zoning map changes. Lastly, an important and grounding part of the plan, which you just noted, the mayor, is there's an equitable community development set of actions which articulate sort of the other needed steps to help support low income and underrepresented communities in this area, because the land use plan can only, the land use and infrastructure is only one part of the puzzle, and there's a lot of other important parts as well.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So for the land use plan, how do these elements get implemented? This is sort of an overview, but so the land use plan gets implemented through the zoning code and the zoning map changes, and those are applied when new development comes in and gets reviewed. Those zoning changes, as I said earlier, are also proposed in two phases in coordination with infrastructure. The infrastructure gets implemented through the planning and development of future capital projects, as well as incrementally as new development comes in. Sometimes there are improvements required with those. And then the equitable community development actions are implemented through primarily collaborations and partnerships, and the plan is a roadmap for pursuing partnerships and funding opportunities and to support the ability of the community to advocate for itself and participate in implementation of the plan. And lastly, who implements? The plan acknowledges that there are many needed partners and actors in this work. This is the beginning, really, not the culmination of the work. And the land use plan is principally implemented by the city. The infrastructure strategy is both the city as well as the infrastructure partners like ODOT and Metro and TriMet who have a role as well regionally. And then finally, the equitable community development actions are the broadest set of actors with the city jurisdictional partners as well as the community-based organizations and the community itself involved in seeing some of these actions come to life. And then we'll just share the land use growth concept. So this is sort of the vision of what this diagram shows sort of how the land uses are proposed to be distributed and some of the main features that are included in the plan. Things such as in blue, we have areas of expanded multi-dwelling reaching beyond the blocks that just front on Barber Boulevard. as they are today. We have areas of existing low-cost housing that we are proposing regulations around preserving, and those are called out in the sort of shaded polka dot areas. There's the pink on this map shows the mixed use and commercial areas. The purple shows the employment focus areas that we've designated. The orange areas show the various potential locations for the envisioned and very robustly supported multicultural hub. And lastly, in green, it shows the green ring concept. It's a sort of people-friendly circulation network around the town center to help folks get to everyday places without having to necessarily interact with the harsher transportation elements in this area.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. So just to be clear, none of this that you're talking about exists today.
There are existing commercial uses and apartments, multi-dwelling uses in this area, yes, but this would be an expansion of those areas and the zoning that would allow that.
And so we're proposing changing the zoning so that we can allow this diversity of development to take place. Do we have one place in the city of Portland where we've actually done that and actually got the outcomes we said we had hoped for? One place that we can point to?
Well, do you want to add?
Our affordable housing has very often ended up in our multi-dwelling zones. If you look at our light rail station areas in East Portland, for example, just a lot of apartment, a lot of multifamily, including quite a bit of affordable units. And the Pearl District has, of course, a mix of market rate and affordable units. So it hasn't always been delivered to the extent we'd like, but we've definitely been getting multi-dwelling housing, range of housing types and affordable units in places we've targeted for that.
I appreciate that, but again, I think if we don't have a real intentional plan about preserving the low-income housing that exists there today, the moment we start doing any development, those folks will be pushed out. And what I know is that the community wants desperately this multicultural center, but there's no plan or funding to make that happen. So I always feel like we are setting the community up for failure when we come up with these big plans and we don't tell the community, and this is how we get to the vision that we have. And I'm not blaming you guys, because we've done this as long as I've been here, the whole 3 years and 9 months. But as I look at outcomes later, what I realize is that we may have thought something at the beginning 20 years ago when we started the plan. And then 35 years later, when it's supposedly completed, we end up with something radically different. And so I think I'm just sharing a tale of caution that I visited this site. I know how desperately these improvements are needed, but I just don't believe that the city knows how to save low-income housing units first before they start actually allowing other developers to come in and price people out. And so, you know, that's going to be my mantra until we get this project moving. And I'm going to stop talking and let you guys go through your presentation. But I think it's important, especially as renters are becoming more and more nervous, that we are being intentional and clear about what the city can do and what the city cannot do, and who's responsible for ensuring that when we say mixed income, we really mean it. And I'm not just talking residential, I'm also talking commercial, because we are pricing small businesses out of the city of Portland, and these plans don't appear to address that lack of affordable office space for small businesses. And when I say small businesses, I'm talking 20 employees or less. And so I think other people may have different ideas of what a small business is. Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty, Patricia Diefendorfer for the record. Joan will continue the presentation, but I did want to point out a couple of things, maybe more specifically that she'll touch upon. This plan has zoning changes, as you're aware, and there is an area particularly called Subdistrict D of this plan, and maybe you could point it out on the map, Joan, where there are some pretty innovative strategies for ensuring that the housing that's there, that's market rate but low cost, you know, the pressure is reduced because you actually cannot redevelop the site without two main considerations. One is if you redevelop the site and locate more housing on site, 50% of those units, taking advantage of a bonus, 50% of those units have to be 60% of AMI or less. Another strategy in that area, giving people, property owners, options. The other strategy is to allow for the transfer of unused development rights, so you can keep your building and your low-cost units on the site, but you don't lose the potential that is the envelope that's developable there, because you can transfer those unused site unused rights elsewhere, and then also with a commitment to do 60% of AMI affordable housing. So those are two strategies that the zoning, that we're using the zoning to accomplish what you're describing. It's, you know, it will take other actions as well, but that's one way that we're starting to do that. And another requirement of the plan is to include some affordable commercial space with when you get some additional bonuses. So both of those considerations are there. It's it does require the market to take advantage of them, but that is a start to addressing the, some of the things that you described.
Thank you very much. That does sound like that we are on path to actually learn from our mistakes of the past and actually put real policy teeth behind the changes that we're making. I can tell you that makes me feel a lot less nervous than I did at the beginning of this conversation. So thank you.
Bill Cunningham, also with BPS, and I'll try to answer some of the details without going into too fine a level of detail. Patricia was going over some of the major components, and it's very much the case that focus of a lot of our zoning code tools and our mapping has been on promoting equitable development approaches. Things like expanding the multi-dwelling housing. There is a component that is about expanding the range of housing options, but also be highlighting some of the things that are very targeted to true affordable housing at that 60% of area median income level. Some of the zoning code and map approaches too are about expanding options for commercial services and employment uses in this area so people can be close to jobs. And I wanted to highlight a set of tools that keep in mind, this is our first area plan, as Patricia said, coming on the heels of the comprehensive plan update. So we really wanted to explore how we can use the zoning code as a tool to promote equitable community development. And one way we did this was our approach to affordable housing and community benefits. A lot of our light rail station planning, we just upzoned to provide greater scale on the light rail. In this project, you can only get larger by delivering on inclusionary housing or affordable units or providing other community benefits. And I'll provide a bit more information about that. So that's a very different approach. You can get bigger, but only if you're providing community benefits, especially affordable housing. And a new approach too was acknowledging the importance of the existing low-cost affordable housing, or it's really market rate that's inexpensive. That's a key place where a lot of our lower income BIPOC immigrant communities are living. And so it's key for them, if they wanted to see themselves as part of the future of the West Portland Town Center, providing some level of housing stability. And I'll share a little bit more later about the approach to kind of, it's a cap on development potential and some incentives for preserving that existing low cost housing. And as Patricia mentioned, this is the first time we're actually mandating affordable commercial spaces as a requirement as part of larger commercial projects. And it definitely follows from what you heard from the community that affordability is not just about housing. People want to be part of the economic success of places, and they want that new building, the new commercial buildings, to include some affordable commercial spaces. And a key part of this is dialogue. So another component was our neighborhood contact requirement is usually oriented towards making sure neighborhood associations are informed of development, but that's been revised to the Southwest Corridor Equity Coalition is a group that's pulled into that dialogue and as part of that discussion. Next, please.
These and two, let me just ask, sure. When you say affordable commercial, are you looking at that at 60% of area median income as well?
It's not exactly quite so cut and dried. Prosper Portland has an affordable commercial program that's focused on, I think, BIPOC and women-owned businesses, and you'll have to meet the requirements of that program. But it's actually a new realm. For years and years, jurisdictions have had things that define affordable housing. Affordable commercial is a more complex component, and in a way, we're taking some steps into this idea of affordable commercial being part of the realm of things we want to see along with new development.
I appreciate my last question before I really let you move on, we know rents are going up over 14% in January because people who own rental units have the ability to raise rents almost 15%. Do you know the percentage of people who will be priced out of what we're already calling housing, naturally affordable housing? Even prior to us approving this plan, how many people do you anticipate will be priced out as of January 1st with the next rent increase? And what are you going to do to make sure we talk about no displacement? They will be displaced in January before we've done anything on this plan.
Commissioner Hardesty, I don't think we have a number at our fingertips right now. We can try to do a little more investigation of that when we come back.
Yeah, I would appreciate us being proactive about that and not coming back after people have been actually evicted from their apartments, because mm-hmm. then it will be too late.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there are, efforts in legislation, even at the state level, like, rental, the amount of increases of rents, all of that is being discussed from policy perspectives of like how to not have the rents increase too dramatically at any given time. And, you know, that's not something that the land use plan specifically can deal with, but we'll come back to you with more information on that.
And this area is definitely part of that context. I was looking at the state of housing report, the housing bureaus for 2021. And this area for three-bedroom unit rents was among the top three most expensive areas in the city. It's also one of those areas where the median income household cannot afford the median income house. And that goes for even the white population. Median income white household cannot afford in that area. So this is not an area that's very affordable. And I did want to just highlight these two maps. The map on the left is showing our existing comprehensive plan slash zoning mapping. And the yellow tones are the single dwelling zones. And in this area, single dwelling zoning is the majority of the zoning in the area. So it kind of limits how many more people can live close to the area's services. And the red tone commercial mixed use zoning is tied pretty closely to Barber. You can't get very far from that very busy road for commercial or multifamily. And the proposed comp plan map on the right is showing in blue that there's a pretty significant expansion proposed of multi-dwelling zoning. So extending into some of the quieter streets. And I should mention that the majority of the multi-dwelling zoning expansion is our RM1, sort of a low rise, 2 to 3 story scale zone that's intended to be compatible with single family. So it's a bit of a transition, but definitely provides more options and inclusionary housing as a tool in those multi-dwelling areas. It's hard to see in this map, or actually it does not show it, but there's some modest increase of the commercial zoning, and we've also designated an employment focus area so that there is a reserve of job opportunity for people in the area. I might mention too, the dashed line is showing the expansion of the town center boundary, and it'll end up being about a little less than a 0.5 square mile area. It's not huge, it's about the same size as the St. John's Town Center or the Lentz Town Center, for reference. Next. That zoning won't all be happening at once. That's a key thing we wanted to highlight. This map is showing in gray the areas that already have a multi-dwelling or mixed-use zoning, and the dark purple, maybe dark pink to some, is showing areas that would receive zone changes with adoption of this plan. And those areas are generally in areas that can be served by things like our stormwater facilities. Southwest has issues with stormwater management. The soils do not have good infiltration. And that is key to this phased approach. The lighter pink is showing a second phase of zone changes that can only happen after a stormwater facilities or stormwater system plan is completed, and that would be also in conjunction with a transportation system plan work.
Can you explain this concept to me? And I've seen this a couple of times. I've never really slowed down to ask the question. So I'm looking at a map right now, and you're saying this is a future zoning map change, but there's a map in a public meeting, and it shows what you want to change the zoning to. I presume that in advance of those zoning changes, we will already be impacting the development in those areas, or at least the ownership of the land in those areas.
It's hard to prevent speculation if people see this map and know that long term it could go to those new zones.
So let me just make sure I understand, because there's a lot of complexities to phased zoning. So phase one, that would happen with the adoption of this strategy. That would,
correct.
So that's the near term. And the second phase that really is critical to the overall success of the strategy won't happen until the infrastructure planning is done. Explain to me what that means, just in common sense terms, and how long will that take?
Maybe I could help with that, Mayor Patricia Diefendorfer, for the record. So just a thing to note about the map is the areas that are shown in the pink, that currently, right now with the adoption of this plan, we would be changing the comp plan designation, but not the zoning. So what it does, what that does is it signals that, you know, this area is being planned for greater intensity and a greater mix of uses, but the zoning is not there yet. And there'll be an additional step for a property owner to seek the zoning. And so in the meantime, the city would be working on the system planning and trying to make sure that we are, you know, planning for the infrastructure to facilitate that growth. The idea is that, you know, people would more likely start to develop in the area where the city undertook the zone change. And perhaps, you know, the areas that are in pink, people might come in and do zone changes, but maybe that'll be a little bit more delayed, and we'll.
So it sounds like what you're saying, if I could just, you know, restate it to make sure I understood what you were saying. Planning is everything, plans are nothing. And based on your prior experience with this, you do not anticipate that these phase two comp plan map changes will impact the properties today in any large numbers. What you're telling me is it's too ethereal to really have people be making capital investments. Is that a fair interpretation?
Yes, I would say it's less likely, because they have to go through additional steps to take advantage of that.
Do we have precedent that gives us confidence that that is likely the case?
So if I just add, we have the comprehensive plan allows us to signal future change without making a zoning change. And the zoning map is what will drive the allowed development. So in many cases across the city, we have situations where we have a comp plan designation, but a different zoning map designation, because generally, usually because of infrastructure, those areas aren't ready to accept the growth, right? And so what we've done here is, yes, split the designation to signal that those light pink areas will be in the future.
And I would assume, I'm sorry, I'm assuming the light pink won't happen if phase one isn't successful. If phase one doesn't do what you want to do, we're never going to get to phase two. Is that a fair statement?
Well, there isn't anything that necessarily ties it right now. It's tied to the infrastructure planning. And so I'll pause there and I'll say that the phase two could happen in two ways. The city could undertake a large-scale legislative project to change all of it at once, or like it happens in many places, once the infrastructure planning is done, then it's up to the individual property owners to one by one come in for a quasi-judicial review to get that changed. So whether we go one way or another is really up to the city to decide, and I think that would happen after conversation, further work on the infrastructure planning work happens and the coordination that's needed.
Great, thank you. That's very helpful, and I'm sorry to slow you down, but I was a little fuzzy on that concept, and that helps clarify it for me. Thanks.
Yes, I may. Yeah, you actually just made me think of another question. So if I'm a smart landowner right now, and I see the plan for these changes over the next 10 years, and I don't need money today, I would just sit on my property waiting for the governments to do their thing and wait for the value of my property to rise. And so what it feels like for someone who doesn't own property and doesn't develop property is that what we're signaling to the people with the resources is that we're gonna invest public dollars in this area, and it would behoove you to hold on to your land to see if you could get the best possible price and be able to, whatever you develop, make the most money out of it. So to me, it feels backwards that we would be signaling, hey, by the way, we're gonna put some public investments in here, hold on to your land until we actually make it look pretty. And then we will be negotiating for housing people can afford to live in and commercial spaces that people can afford to rent. So again, this is what we got. This is our land use policy, right? Does that make sense what I just said?
Maybe you could just say that part of the reason to plan in this way is to align the capital investment and the infrastructure
investments,
the cities, right? So,
okay.
So part of it is the city does its capital improvement planning, but it's the city, the infrastructure bureaus need to know where to direct the limited resources we do have for infrastructure. And a plan like this that signals, you know, pay attention to this area because this area, we're acknowledging that it's a center and we're planning it as such. So let's direct what infrastructure dollars we have to this area. And that's the value of planning and doing this phased approach. I understand what you're saying, and it is the challenge of our overall system. But there is a rationale for why we would change the comp plan designation before changing the zoning to help direct the capital investment resources there.
Yeah, I keep hearing that's the reason why we do it this way. The outcome does not give us the outcomes that we say we want. We say if we do the public investment first, we'll have all these private investors come in and make it better.
Just one detail about that, just to clarify, the light pink areas, the development that the future zoning would allow for would just be that low rise, 2 to 3 story scale development. So it's not like people would be waiting in the wings for 4 or 5 story mixed use development to happen. It's still going to be fairly low scale in those light pink areas. Just a little detail for clarification.
So is it because we made a decision that they wouldn't be higher than that in the town center areas? Because it would take you a long time to get housing people could afford to live in if you're building them 3 plexes, 4 plexes at a time.
Yep. Well, I think the bulk of the zone changes would happen with adoption of the plan, something like 71 acres. Next slide. Oh, sure.
Why don't we just move on?
Just wanted to clarify what we meant by kind of linking greater building scale to providing community benefits. As I mentioned before, unlike past plans, we're not just upzoning, allowing without any strings attached, a larger scale. There's a tiered approach that is really intended to prioritize outcomes desired by the community. For example, if you want to get any larger at all, and you include any residential in your development, you have to do inclusionary housing or include affordable housing as part of that development to attain any greater scale. And if you want to go beyond that and scale, you can also achieve greater scale by providing things like daycares or space for community services. That affordable commercial space provision actually gets you additional scale too. And there's a provision too where if only after you've done those other things, if you're providing additional outdoor space beyond what the code provides for, you can also gain additional scale. So getting bigger is very much tied to community benefits. And first and foremost, a gateway to other bonuses is affordable housing. And this is where really, for this last slide that I have, low-cost housing preservation, this is where things are really tied to that deeper level of affordability. As we mentioned before, there are quite a few existing low-cost apartments, especially in the West Portland neighborhood south of Barber. And again, providing housing stability for people so they can benefit from changes here, preserving some of that stock of housing is really key to what the community wanted to see happen here. And these apartments already provide a fair amount of density close by our town center. So their key function is not so much, can you get more density on the sites? Can we preserve that existing low cost housing? And this is achieved by reducing some of the development entitlements on those in those areas with existing low cost apartments. And you can only get bigger, as the code's written, if the replacement housing has a substantial amount of affordable housing. And specifically, it's at least half the units will have to be affordable at a 60% of AMI level. And just so you know, it's for a family of three, that's about $57,000 a year. And we also have provisions where you can transfer development rights, and we kind of give some bonus development rights to another site, and you could sell those rights to another site in exchange for preserving the affordability of those existing housing units. So there's something, so there's a little bit of a cap, but on the other hand, something that really tries to incentivize preservation through providing allowances for transferring development rights to other sites. But again, key for the community in terms of who benefits from the change in the area. Can we provide some more housing stability for the people already living there? And this is part of that approach. And I think that's all I have. I'm just going to pass it back to Joan.
Thank you, Bill. So that was super fast. Lots more detail on all of that. But we wanted to just try to keep it short and just highlight a few things of that other work that's underway related to the West Portland Town Center plan, work that our community partners are doing and our infrastructure agencies are doing. I wanted to call out the good work that's happening around really trying to move forward on the multicultural hub and housing stability in the area. We're working as part of Centers for Disease Control Social Determinants of Health Accelerator Plan. BPS has been working with cross-sector partners, including the Multnomah County Health Department, Neighborhood House, HealthShare Oregon, Unite Oregon, Community Alliance Attends, et cetera. And they have been working to try to lay the foundation for next steps on these important community development actions for the community. Our Bureau, the Bureau of Environmental Services, is working hard to start work on a systems development plan for stormwater. And so they have begun conditions assessment and analysis. So that work is underway. PBOT has moved forward on some small but important transportation improvements. The Southwest Corridor Equity Coalition continues to work on engaging the community and doing business and workforce development and that type of thing. And so we really wanted to call those important works out. That's pretty much it for the presentation. We wanted to highlight again for you that the actions requested from the City Council relate to adopting an ordinance for the West Portland Town Center Plan, its goals and policies, its visions, action charts, growth concepts, and diagrams, and then comprehensive plan map changes, zoning map changes, Title 33, and changes to the citywide design guidelines as well. Finally, just a highlight of the process and the timeline. We're here today with you October 12th. The testimony closes, as you noted, Mayor, on October 14th at 5 p.m. this coming Friday. There is another work session scheduled, another discussion session scheduled for October 27th, and then we expect additional meetings in November and December.
Very good. Thank you for the presentation. And I understand we're going to hear from PSC Commissioner Routh, is that correct?
Thank you. I would like to invite Stephanie Routh to join us. She's the chair for the Planning and Sustainability Commission. She is joining us virtually today.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Great. You also might hear my dog. Just
that's
you know.
Totally acceptable.
Okay, Mayor Wheeler, members of City Council, my name is Steph Ralph, and it is my honor to serve as your chair of the Planning and Sustainability Commission. It has certainly taken a village to build the West Portland Town Center plant. As you know, this is the first area plan to be undertaken under the 2035 Comprehensive Plan policies. It promotes sustainable development patterns by implementing the centers and corridors concepts of the Comprehensive Plan, and it centers and prioritizes policies around racial equity, health, resilience, and complete centers. The plan's process and the community have weathered the pandemic and the failure of the transportation measure that was poised to catalyze a broad swath of the Southwest Corridor. This was a mighty blow, but community groups were not to be deterred after they had come so far. It has also weathered 8 work sessions between October 2021 and June 2022 after experiencing the joy of public hearings. Your Planning and Sustainability Commission concluded our deliberations on the proposals on June 14th and voted to recommend adoption of the plan to you, City Council. Persistence pays, and here we are today. One refrain that returned in our conversations was how to honor the investment that community partners have made to this plan. In time and in trust. We have all seen plans, beautiful plans, well-considered plans, be adopted only to sit on a shelf, growing brittle with neglect. An ignominious fate, but not an inevitable one. So here are some next steps we offered in our earlier letter to you and that we feel is worthy of reprieve. So I include them here. Further, the implementation of the Southwest Corridor Equitable Housing Strategy, including specifically adding city resources to a fund managed by the Network of Oregon Affordable Housing for acquisition of existing low-cost housing in the area. This is an action from the City Council-endorsed Southwest Corridor Housing Strategy that has not yet been implemented. Support strategies and tools to reduce displacement, both residential and commercial, and I really appreciate your conversation to that effect earlier, so thank you. Support the necessary steps, next steps in infrastructure planning, coordination, and project design, particularly for key town center transportation and stormwater projects, such as the Crossroads intersection, Taylor's Ferry, Huber Street, the Green Ring, and Southwest Collins Avenue. The PSC appreciates that, and here comes all of the wonderful bureaus, BPS, Water, BES, and PBOT have taken to steps to fund further planning work on this point. Support the leverage of remaining or future Portland or Metro housing bond funding opportunities. The PSC appreciates that the Housing Bureau supported a project in the Southwest Corridor in its February 2022 funding award. Go team. Further evaluation with community involvement of alternative funding mechanisms in support of the plan. And this is again, RIP transportation bond. So we have a lot to make up for. And finally, on behalf of the PSC, I would like to extend our deep gratitude to all who contributed to the plan, including city agencies, regional partners, all who testified, the incredible community organizations who helped put together this plan, and members of the Southwest Corridor Equity Coalition, who I believe you will hear about hear from momentarily. And thank you, City Council, for the opportunity to join you today and share our support of the West Portland Town Center Plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Roth. We appreciate it very much. Commissioner Roth. Colleagues, before we move into public testimony, does anybody have any questions of staff or Commissioner Roth?
I have one question, Mayor, and it may not be able to be answered today, but I'm just curious if the City of Portland actually has any land that it owns in the Southwest area that we're talking about today.
I'm getting the head
You're
shake,
getting the no?
So I don't think so.
Commissioner yeah. Fritz is giving it.
You'll tell us later.
We'll give her extra time in her testimony to fill this
Well, out. I'm just curious, right, because again, we always start these off and we always talk about preserving affordable housing, but we also don't own much land and we don't build much housing that the city actually has any control over. So what's the plan?
Thank you. Sorry, there is a project that was purchased with the housing bond money on Barber Boulevard within the town center. So PHB and Metro are working on that project.
I'm sorry, who's the other partner, Metro and who?
PHB.
Portland Housing
yes,
Bureau?
Sir.
Thank you.
Excellent, thank you. So colleagues, now we'll move on to hearing testimony on the plan. First, we have a few invited testifiers, then we'll open it up to those who've registered to provide verbal testimony on this item. I'd like to invite at this time Moenad Alnahar and Koya Crespin from the Southwest Corridor Equity Coalition to share their testimony. After them, they'll be followed by Jessica Guernsey, who is the Public Health Director at the Multnomah County Health Department. I want to thank all of you for joining us. My understanding, they're all joining us virtually today. We'll ask that you try and keep your remarks as close to 3 minutes as possible. What are you pointing at? Sorry.
I'm sorry. Do you want me to run the timer or?
Yes, that would be helpful.
Okay.
Thanks for asking.
Well, thank you very much and good afternoon, Mayor and Council members. My name is Mohanad Anajar. My pronouns are he, him, and his, and I'm testifying on behalf of the Southwest Corridor Equity Coalition, also known as SWEC. Through active membership between 36 organizations, we affirm that racial equity as an understanding and acknowledgement of historical and ongoing racial inequities and a commitment to actions challenging those inequities is a core tenet to our coalition's practice. Recognizing the harm that resulted in other parts of the city when low-income, historically marginalized communities were excluded from participating in planning activities and benefiting from new developments, SWAC mission is to prevent this from happening again in Southwest Portland, and we believe this is a goal for City Council as well. The West Portland Town Center is home to some of the most racially and culturally diverse neighborhoods in Portland, and it has one of the largest and oldest mosques in the city. We have been working closely with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to engage the diverse population of the area in developing a plan that not only protects people against residential and business displacement, but also offers economic opportunities and a roadmap for building strong, socially connected communities. In preparation for this project and other investments in the Southwest Corridor, SWAC is working with various stakeholders to explore ways to stabilize our communities and give them an opportunity to thrive through programs focusing on racial equity, affordable housing, small business support, and workforce development. And here I'd like to turn it over to my colleague Koya to continue the testimony on behalf of SWAC.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mohanad. And y'all might hear one of my kids like running in here with a Lego emergency of sorts. So apologies in advance, that might happen. But good afternoon, council members. My name is Koya Crespin. My pronouns are she, her. I'm here on behalf of Southwest Equity Coalition. I'm a community organizer at Community Alliance of Tenants. The plan calls for investment in infrastructure to develop storm water systems and improve transportation safety. And we do ask City Council not to accept lack of resources as an excuse to delay the implementation of the plan. Instead, what we are asking your respected council to encourage some interbureau collaboration to pursue incremental implementation of the plan. But please don't let the plan just sit there because we can't do all of these big things at once, right? Racial equity has to remain the driving force for not only the design, but the implementation of the West Portland Town Center plan. And we must maintain strategies like the West Portland Town Center plan that are aimed at empowering the community, ones that include initiatives that teach current residents about their rights as tenants, or financial skill building like asset building. And the West Portland Town Center is a great example of one of the ways to consult the community during these type of decision-making processes. Continuing to engage in these types of community participation and planning processes, community solidarity, political activism, public, private, and community partnerships and having multiple financial resources for programs for low-income residents should be some of the first priorities of the council. We have an opportunity together to implement strategies in the plan that focus on preserving existing affordable housing, as well as providing for the eventual development of new homes as the area continues to evolve. An exchange of perspectives and ongoing collaboration on how best to achieve these goals is what we're hoping to foster. So that said, our coalition appreciates the recommendation from the Planning and Sustainability Commission that SWEC would provide an annual or biannual report to City Council on the progress and activities related to the plan. And we know there is much work to organize around potential community ownership and other anti-displacement measures to help protect working tenant families in Southwest Portland. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Koya. Next, we'll hear from Jessica Guernsey, who's the Public Health Director at the Multnomah County Health Department. We appreciate your being here. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, loud and clear.
Wonderful. Hello, my name is Jessica Guernsey. I use she, her, hers pronouns. I'm your Public Health Director at Multnomah County Health Department. And this is really the best part of my job to come and provide comment and support for an amazing intergovernmental project of such magnitude. Multnomah County Health Department, the Public Health Division, specifically alongside the staff that I have the privilege of working with in the racial and ethnic approaches to community health, alongside our environmental health staff, are pleased to support the West Portland Town Center plan presented today. I was very fortunate back on a rainy day, I believe in May, when we had some untimely rain in our late spring season, to tour the site with a group of my staff, planners from BPS, and community leaders and community members. And I'm so excited to see the plan move to this stage. First of all, I obviously want to thank and commend the folks at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for purposefully integrating health in the development of this plan. Our staff members participated as technical advisors on the plan, and the Bureau also worked with consultants to develop a health equity assessment that does a great job articulating the ways that the plan can and will influence health and how it could impact what we call health disparities. We have a really special interest in supporting this project and projects like it for a couple reasons. In public health. First of all, I'm sure many of you have heard us talk about the built environment. This refers to the places we live, work, play, worship, learn, play. And we know that this is a major driving force in influences on our health. In public health, we often say that your zip code is more important than your genetic code. Much of what determines health outcomes is frankly outside the clinic walls and in the environments in which we interact in the communities in which we live. Most of the leading causes of death, not only in Multnomah County, but across the nation, are linked to the ways that neighborhoods shape our behaviors and exposures to things that either harm us or protect us. There are numerous examples of this. Some of them are just the way we have access to safe sidewalks and well-lit areas, how we can safely walk to destinations, what kind of air pollution we have, and then also our risk to injury. So there's numerous ways in which the built environment actually constrains or enhances our health. A second reason we have a strong interest in this plan is because of the demographics of West Portland Town Center. As I mentioned, we were able to complete a health equity assessment. And in this assessment, we know that this is a part of town that is home to a highly diverse community. Does that mean I need to stop?
No, you still have 30 seconds.
Okay, including a concentration of East African immigrants in many of the city's Muslim institutions. We know from our funded epidemiology that this is an important area that we need to address health disparities. We know that the death rate from diabetes among Black population is about 3 times the rate of non-Hispanic white population. And as you've heard before, this inequity is rooted not in individual choice, but in the systems that reinforce inequitable access to health supportive resources. Is that my time?
Yeah, that time it is.
Okay.
But yeah, Jessica, go ahead and wrap it up. We're not that strict here.
Okay. What we know is, I'll just, you know, wrap up by saying that, again, these types of places envisioned in this plan and this work, this kind of collaboration, and in all town centers are the types of places that promote healthy behaviors and lower the prevalence of chronic disease. It's a major driver, again, of what we see in our leading causes of death and years of life lost. A greater mix of walkable destinations is a strong predictor of physical activity, and we see the changes before you today as an important step towards making that a reality in West Portland Town Center. We feel extremely strong about the deep, authentic community engagement that you've heard about today as a pillar of this work. And despite the interruptions from the pandemic, this work has continued. And I particularly want to thank our staff that has helped to collaborate on this important plan to move forward, especially on the Social Determinants of Health Accelerator Plan grant that BPS was able to secure from the CDC. Just again, want to reiterate our deep support for this project, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Thanks for your partnership. All right, so next, I'll ask the clerk, Keelan, to call the names of those who've registered to testify. If you're here with us in City Council chambers, please come up and take any of these seats when your name is called. If you're joining remotely, please speak in the order in which your names are called. As a reminder, everybody has 3 minutes. It's slightly awkward, as virtual hearings often are. The way this will work is you'll hear the gong, which I think personally is kind of hilarious, having lived through the gong show era. You'll hear that 2.5 minutes into your 3 minutes wow. testimony to remind you that you have 30 seconds left, and then you'll hear the gong again when your time is up. And if people could keep it to 3 minutes, we'd appreciate that. So I'll turn it over to Keelan, and she'll call the first names in order.
First up, we have David Gunn.
Hi, David.
It doesn't look like David's joined us, so we'll go on to the next one. Next, we have Chris Chiacciarini.
I see Chris. Hi, Chris. How are you today?
I'm well. Thanks so much, Mr. Mayor. My name is Chris Caccarini. I'm the executive director at Neighborhood House. We have been involved in the West Portland Town Center planning process for well over 2 years, first with the Community Planning Group and now with the Southwest Equity Coalition. I have seen the community engaged in the planning process from the beginning right up until present day. Community engagement has really been held at the center of this plan. We have an opportunity to continue to center equity in the development of the corridor. This is in alignment with Neighborhood House's vision that every neighbor has the community and support they need to thrive. Neighborhood House supports affordable housing preservation and expansion as long as it comes with co-located services, as that's what the residents of these affordable housing developments are ultimately asking for. We support the multicultural hub to build community. We support improving accessibility and safety, sidewalks, bike access, and transit access. We hear from the people that we serve that access is a significant barrier to service. We support workforce development to build wealth equity, and we support building infrastructure to support community-based organizations. We do have some concerns, not about the plan, but about execution of the plan. We certainly share Commissioner Hardesty's concerns around speculation, around trying to fund projects in a competitive marketplace. Neighborhood House has specific concerns about capital funding for projects, specifically for building square footage for co-located services. The only current funding that's available in the capital realm on a consistent basis is for affordable housing exclusively, not for any co-located services. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Amanda Rain.
Hi, my name is Amanda Rain. My pronouns are she, they. I'm with Community Partners for Affordable Housing, also known as SEPA. I thank the council for your consideration of the West Portland Town Center Plan, as well as the PSC and BPS staff and the many community organizations who contributed countless hours to developing this plan. CEPA is a nonprofit community development corporation, or CDC, with more than 50% of our housing located along the Southwest Corridor. CEPA has been part of the local solution to affordable housing for nearly 30 years. We've also been part of the community planning efforts in the Southwest Corridor. We urge you to support the specific strategies in the plan that will increase the supply of regulated affordable housing, as well as improved work opportunities, green space, and positive health outcomes. Most importantly, we ask you to ensure that the residents who currently live in the culturally rich community have every opportunity to stay. The West Portland Town Center Plan is an important step for preserving some of the last low-cost market housing in Portland, as it contains zoning code proposals, as you've heard, to maintain affordability in existing housing, affordability that is rapidly disappearing with the increased pressure to gentrify this community. We also request the formal adoption of a minimum threshold of 30% or more of all new housing be affordable to people at 60% AMI. Preserving low-cost housing is important considering that it takes a minimum of 2 to 3 years to develop new quality regulated affordable housing that remains affordable for a minimum of 15 years, though permanently when developed by mission-driven nonprofits. Furthermore, adopting this plan is an important step to prioritize the Southwest Corridor and prevent displacement in the area's largest racially diverse neighborhood. Specifically, West Portland Park is home to a large community of recent immigrants, as you've heard. And in addition, 14% of the neighborhood identifies as Black or African American, more than double the city average. These communities are at high risk of displacement, with 46% making less than the median income, 12% living below the poverty line, and only 50% of housing units being owner-occupied. It is also important to note that every $100 increase in median rent is associated with a 9% increase in estimated homelessness rate, according to a 2020 report by the U.S. Government Accountability Office, as reported in the Washington Post earlier this year. With the West Portland Town Center Plan, we have the opportunity to stop displacement before it happens. We have a chance to improve inequities and improve our city through thoughtful planning and investments. CEPA has also done research into alternate home ownership models that can be applied in the West Portland Town Center area, in particular, in perhaps the light pink areas discussed earlier in the phased zoning map. Adopting the plan is an important next step for the communities in the West Portland Town Center and along the Southwest Corridor, and I urge you to adopt the plan. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Next up, we have Kim McCarty.
Hi, Kim.
Good afternoon. Hi. I'm Kim McCarty. My pronouns are she, her. I'm the executive director for the Community Alliance of Tenants. I thank you for this time this afternoon. I'm coming here to be in support of the West Portland Town Center Plan. Community Alliance of Tenants supports low-income tenants. We've been a part of this planning process for several years. I'm really happy to be in collaboration with the Southwest Equity Coalition and others. And we feel really strongly that this plan should be supported, but not only supported, also implemented with additional resources, attention to collaboration amongst the bureaus and with the community. It's our goal at Community Alliance to create ways for tenants to engage in the redevelopment plans and to prevent displacement and to ensure plans result in a place where tenants will want to live, work, and play. We meet regularly with tenants to support their leadership in their community. Tenants are telling us that they need affordable housing to remain in community, near family, near culturally specific retail, places of worship, and they're feeling, however, the forces of displacement. Especially impactful to tenants, many without cars, is the lack of sidewalks, parks, and safe crossings. So we want to restate the priorities expressed by the Southwest Equity Coalition in several forums that we want through the West Portland Town Center, this place to be a place that draws many people from all different incomes and demographics, and not just cars. Specifically, the West Portland Town Center is central to these goals because it includes strategies to prevent displacement of our culturally diverse communities and help them thrive. We urge you to support this plan by approving many of the elements that we want to champion. And I'll list a few of these right now. We want there to be a focus on racial equity to prevent the direct or economic displacement by increasing housing choices, especially for people of color and other marginalized households. We're looking for minimum targets of affordable rental housing units in Southwest Portland, as described in the Southwest Corridor Equitable Housing Strategy. It's also important that there are healthy communities where tenant rights are affirmatively attached. We need quantifiable indicators that can be tracked over time, including specific targets for affordable housing and affordable commercial spaces in the West Portland Town Center. Lastly, there need to be resources to fund. There needs to be technical assistance and capacity made available to everyone who lives and works in this area. So thank you, and we hope that you will support the West Portland Town Center plan.
Thank you, Kim. We appreciate it.
Next up, we have Carlton H. Perry.
Hi, Carlton.
I don't think they've joined us. Next, we have Elizabeth Sibley.
3 minutes doesn't start till I get up there, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You get yourself all situated, and we'll take it from there. And if you could also just state your name for the record, we appreciate it.
Beautiful painting. First time I've been there.
Oh, great.
Is this the right distance?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you don't. It's very sensitive. This, a foot away is fine.
My name is Elizabeth Sibley.
I use Hershey pronouns, like the Hershey bar. I love to say that. I live in Southwest Portland, and I have no objections to the plan per se. What I have an objection to is the fact that my home is due to be rezoned due to the overlay with no notice. The only reason I'm here today, and I would have gone to planning meetings to talk had I ever known about this, and I've talked to many of my neighbors, we have a very good walking neighborhood, and none of us received any notice that we were about to be, or at some point would be rezoned. So I want to talk about why I would like the overlay, an exclusion for the overlay in our area between Alfred and Galeburn, and basically 40th and 43rd, unless they're this way. I don't know if any of you live in that area, but we get intense snow and ice. The Barber Transit Center will have rain and we will be impassable. Also, there is a great deal of walking in our neighborhood. Everybody walks their dogs, walks their children, and there's very little vehicular traffic. From what I can read, and I'm not a traffic or city engineer from the plan, is that there's no requirement for parking with any of these units that might go in. And as you know, the mosque is on Alfred and Capitol. Where's my timer, Oxen? And on the days when there are services, they park all the way down to 40th, all the way between Alfred and Galeburn. And we love having them as neighbors. I believe they keep us safe because whenever we drop our phone, it gets delivered to the mosque and they call us, but I digress. Anyway, having units there with no parking will put the parking on the street and make it basically impossible for the people who are coming from afar to the mosque to be able to park. So our concern here is also the gerrymandering. If you look at the map, which we don't have access to at the moment, it's on my phone, it doesn't seem to make sense to have some areas excluded, like halfway down our block, and other areas included when the excluded areas are actually further from Capitol, which has the bus lines, although they did take out two lanes of traffic to put in bicycle lanes, which was a marvelous thought, and I have yet to see a bicyclist on it. So I think there needs to be a little more input, perhaps from the people that actually live there, and I might add pay the taxes there. So to not have, I guess my biggest concern is the notice. I mean, I would be going to the Planning Commission and say, how do you propose people to get up that hill when I can't get up there in my chained up four-wheel drive truck? Anyway, I'm not going to go any longer because I need my 25 seconds to get back. But my concern is we would like our area between Galeburn and Alfred, 40th and 43rd, excluded from the overlay zone as it is a block away, because it just doesn't seem like the right plan for our very hilly, icy neighborhood. Thank you so much, and thank you for showing that beautiful painting.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and Elizabeth, I just want to say thank you for your testimony, and I'll work with staff. Patricia, can we kind of look into this and circle back with you?
I would appreciate that. Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Terry Prigg-Rigsby.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for the opportunity to provide testimony today in favor of adoption of the West Portland Town Center plan. My name is Terry Prigg-Rigsby, and I am the General Manager of Hockey Community Organization. I've also lived in and near the West Portland Town Center area for about 25 years. Hockey Community Organization was created in 2018 as a resource of advocacy, education, and empowerment for the Swahili-speaking East African immigrants and refugees, many of whom live in Southwest Portland. Among other activities, we advocate for affordable housing and anti-displacement of many of our renters, workforce development, and we do all of this with the ultimate goal of empowering the immigrant and refugee community. Our office is located near the mosque that we've heard many times referred to. It's actually Portland's largest mosque, Masjid As-Sabir, and that is within the West Portland Town Center plan area. So with our deeply rooted relationships in the community and the strong partnerships that we've developed through our membership on the Southwest Equity Coalition, we have excellent and well-established avenues for gathering input from neighbors. We've been engaged with the West Portland Town Center planning effort since 2019 and really appreciate the opportunity to highlight the needs of our immigrant and refugee community members. So as a result of the several years of community input and engagements and also working with partners on the Center for Disease and Control funded project, we know that it is critical for our collective and individual health that we create spaces to build community connections and strengthen employment opportunities in the area. We believe that the plan's inclusion of the multicultural hub will help us create those community connections, create new jobs, and be a bridge for the cultural gaps in our neighborhoods. The multicultural hub will help our diverse communities acknowledge and celebrate our different cultures and allow us to learn from each other, and it'll strengthen those relationships between people in the town center and the surrounding areas. We also believe that it will become a citywide attraction and provide an opportunity for affordable commercial activities and spaces to market culturally specific products. And we think it will be a much needed central location to share information about available public services and resources like county health programs and public transportation. And it is a critical component for newcomers to the community to support them in living healthfully and in harmony in their new home. Again, we urge your support of the community's vision and ultimate adoption of this plan, so that we can ultimately access funding for all components of the plan, and in particular, the multicultural hub. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Perfectly timed.
Next up, we have Amanda Fritz.
Amanda Fritz, welcome home.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Mine will not be perfectly timed because I have only just scribbled it out on my phone. Thank you all for being here in person. Oh, I'm Amanda Fritz. Thank you for being here in person. It makes such a difference to be able to see all of your real faces and just gauge your body language. I'm very COVID phobic. I've been wearing my mask the whole time, and this is a really safe environment. Anybody who's been hesitant about coming back to our beautiful City Hall just knows it feels really good. Thank you, Keelan, for improving the process of signing up. The first major, or the most major improvement in the 35 years that I've been doing this stuff. It's really, really excellent, and I couldn't be happier. So I've lived in this area for over 36 years. First, I lived just on the southern border on Dolf Court, which is where Spring Garden Park now is. And then for the past 35 years, I've lived in West Portland Park, which is the neighborhood to the south. I was the West Portland Park Land Use Chair for 17 years. And as such, I helped lead the community-led designation to have Metro put this on the 2040 map as a town center. It's the only one that the community asked for, rather than planners saying, this looks like a good place. And I could quite understand why they would think that it was not a good place for a town center. I first want to laud the others who led that designation, John Allen from Crestwood, Kay Dirtshee from Multnomah, Patty Lee and Dorothy Gage, who were elders in Ash Creek and who have now passed on. Understand what the area is now. There's a McDonald's, a Starbucks, a BlackRock coffee, in case you wanted a change in your coffee shop, a Walgreens, multiple auto repair shops. It's a place where the pedestrian light to cross Barber Boulevard starts flashing 35 seconds and counts down 1 second after it goes white. It's also a place that has a rich mix of cultures, as has been mentioned, 18% of us born outside the United States. It has Markham Elementary, which for many years was the only Title I school on the West Side, where my three kids got the best education that money didn't buy except for taxes. And I really appreciate Portland Public Schools. We also have Jackson Middle School. It has two mosques. And this area and this community is finally getting the plan that it deserves. And I was here at the beginning, 30 years later, I wanted to be here at the end of the beginning, because this is not the end, this is the beginning of the next phase. I'm going to need more time, please, Mayor. Thank you. There's many planners who've worked really hard on this over the years. I wouldn't be here now except for Joan Fredrickson coming to the West Portland Park Neighbors Association meeting last month, where I'm now vice president. You may curtsy later. She was there to ask, do you have any questions? And my question was, well, I don't have staff anymore, so what is it? And what are you doing? And when is the hearing? And she, just like that, did a brilliant 30-minute impromptu presentation that made, I got more and more excited the more I listened. This is far better than if it had been adopted 15 years ago, along with the Southwest Community Plan. And Marie Johnson was the one that kept it, back then, kept it from falling apart and being undesignated. There was a major battle on that. The Southwest Equity Coalition has been actively engaged and guided this plan. It intentionally avoids displacing existing naturally affordable housing. We do have significant numbers of Section 8 housing units in West Portland Park, and we want to keep them. 30 years ago, I wanted huge upzoning everywhere, but this plan is better. It learns from the mistakes of the past. We have to do the plan before we can get the funding to implement it. Commissioner Hardesty's lament was the same as the detractors 30 years ago. We don't have a park, so how can we add more housing? So once we got the designation approved and we had the plan, we were able to partner with the state to get grants to get the park. And now we have Holly Farm Park, which is next to the Markham, the Capitol Hill Library. And that's how you do it step at a time. And you can't get the additional funding if you don't have the plan. I attended a community meeting, which must have been before the pandemic because I wasn't wearing a mask. It had great attendance and diversity. It was at Markham. Stipends have been offered for those needing or requesting it. And I heard a lot of support from the diverse communities that attended for the low rise with some high rise, and that's exactly what this plan does. We heard a massive support on and on and on about Barber World Foods. The difference from the corporations that I mentioned before, Barber World Foods, in partnership actually with Walgreens, gives us a full service town center. If you haven't visited, you need to go and check out the olive oil out, for example, because there's more types of olive oil than you ever thought possible. And fresh vegetables and all kinds of great stuff. And this plan has been very careful to look after our beloved Barber World Food. To move from the comprehensive plan designation to the zone change, it's mostly the developer who has to provide the necessary infrastructure, and you would have a hearing at which you would decide, is there enough infrastructure, or do we just say no to this development? If people in Deep Southwest thought that there was going to be wholesale development and displacement, this chamber would be full and overflowing. You'd be here until 9 p.m., like we were in the past. Half of them would be complaining about the development, and half of them would be complaining about the displacement. My concern is that change may be too slow, but the balance between change now and change in the future is the right choice. We, in addition to the property that Housing Bureau and Metro bought, we also own the Water Bureau property, which again is right in the heart of the redevelopment area. Obviously, you'd have to pay the Water Bureau from the general fund to be able to use it for housing, but I don't think they're using it for anything. Of course, things may have changed in the last 2 years, so who knows what they're using it for. I want to speak to Elizabeth's concern. There was no notice because the properties are being increased in value rather than decreased, and measure whatever it was only required notification if property value were going to be going down. The excluded area that is south, that is north, is because of stormwater. I used to live right opposite where the stormwater designation is, and I built what I called the Panama Canal, which was a trench to get the stormwater into the storm sewer because there's so much runoff from the hill. And so again, I was delighted to see that. Elizabeth is my neighbor in West Portland Park, and we do meet on this coming Thursday, in fact, tomorrow. You can go to sweeney.org and the calendar and attend our meeting, and we would be glad to welcome new participants. And thank you very much for giving me at least twice the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for all your efforts.
Next up, we have Haley Hay.
Am I here? Hi. Yep. Hi, everybody. Hey, my pronouns are she, her. I just wanted to, this has been very informative. I'm a West Portland Park resident, close to Jackson Middle School, and am a part of the pink shaded proposed rezoning. I would just like I'm not opposed to the West Portland Town Center as a whole along the major traffic corridor, but the pink sections, the overlays, are really stretching into deep into the neighborhoods. And I would just ask that before those zonings are approved, that you actually drive around and look, and what would that be like? I don't know that adding density in those areas is the right place to go. It does get farther and farther from the main traffic corridors. It is incredibly hilly. Yes, people walk, but I'm in great shape and it's hard to walk up some of those hills. But you know, there's got to be a balance and doing what's right, and having that infrastructure in place was good to hear that that's also being considered, because there are major sewer problems on my street. So I just wanted to, I have provided written testimony as well, but as this moves forward into future years, please reconsider and think hard about expanding into the, I'm just going to call it the light pink. Thank you.
Thank you, Haley. Appreciate it.
And that completes testimony.
All right. Very good. Colleagues, any questions at this particular juncture? Commissioner Ryan?
Yeah. Matt Schaubold is on. Matt, could you come into the meeting, please? Matt's with the Housing Bureau. He's a deputy director. And there were a couple of questions about the Housing Bureau's properties. And I was, I know there's one with the Portland Housing Bond and also with the Metro. And now, Matt, you're going to deliver the details. Take it away.
Sure thing. Thank you, Commissioner. For the record, Matthew Schaubold with the Housing Bureau. I know there's some questions about regulated affordable housing in the Southwest area. And as the commissioner mentioned, we have two projects in the pipeline. One is the Barber Apartments, which is a Portland Housing Bond project. It is in the development pipeline. It'll provide 149 regulated affordable units. And then the other parcel is in our current open solicitation, which is currently the Portland Value Inn being used for by Metro. It's a lease site for some transitional housing. It's in the solicitation we have out right now. There is funding available to develop it. It is, our requirements will be that it provides at least 75 units of affordable housing, with 1/3 of those units at 30% AMI and below. So both of those projects are in the pipeline for development in order to provide additional regulated affordable housing in the Southwest Corridor.
May I? Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioner Ryan. Thank you, Matt. Phew, that was exhausting. I'm curious. You said that I'm curious as to what nonprofit agency you're partnering with to build that affordable housing units at 30%? Because my assumption would be not the city of Portland and not a private developer.
For the Barber Apartments, thank you, Commissioner. For the Barber Apartments, the partner is Innovative Housing Incorporated. And I do know that they have a number of other community-based organizations that are partnering around services and whatnot. And of the 149 units, they're planning currently for 32 of those to be at 30% AMI and below. For the Portland Value Inn, we have not yet selected a developer that is in our solicitation currently.
We're tag teaming here. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioner Ryan. Matt, thank you for that. I think it's really helpful for us, and I'm happy to see you being really clear. I used to fight with the Director Callahan about what properties the city actually owned as compared to what properties we were putting a minimal amount of money into to assist people in developing housing people can afford to live in. And so I really appreciate the clarity in that. I'm not sitting here trying to figure it out. I made assumptions and I was right. I'm happy to hear that. So thank you very much.
Sure thing.
My thing was off. Sorry about that.
Very good. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for your testimony today on the West Portland Town Center Plan. We've heard, of course, from everybody who has signed up to testify. So at this point, the oral testimony is closed. The record for additional written testimony will remain open until Friday, October 14th at 5 p.m. That's Friday, October 14th at 5 p.m. for the written record. Written testimony can be submitted through the MAP app until that time. Commissioner Rubio, would you like to make any closing remarks before we wrap things up?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. Just want to say thank you to everyone who testified today or submitted written testimony. And I especially want to thank Amanda Fritz for joining us, my predecessor in this seat, and for being here and also giving us really important historic context on this project. I also want to reiterate my appreciation for the tremendous work and years of community engagement leading up to today. I've been on a walking tour of the site, met at different times with different committee members and staff, and it's very clear to me that the needs and aspirations of the community are really reflected in the visioning of this project and the tools that we're using to make those changes. I also like that capacity building and community is being lifted up as a means and a tool to continue that strong engagement of community over time, which is a really important factor in this project as well. So great work. And also, I also look forward to the discussion in the coming weeks. And thanks again for this very thoughtful work.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Rubio. This item is continued to October 27th at 3:30 p.m. time certain. At that hearing, City Council may consider amendments, and they may also take additional testimony on any amendments that are proposed. If BPS receives proposed amendments from council members before the October 27th meeting, they will be posted on the Bureau's West Portland Town Center website. Thank you all. This meeting is now adjourned.